morning at 11:06 Central Time.
WILL programs are made possible by English Hedgerow, offering gourmet foods and fresh flowers with a different accent. English Hedgerow also offers coordinated catering and decoration for weddings, parties, and corporate events. English Hedgerow on the corner of University and Lincoln Avenue, Urbana.
Europe Today from the BBC was recorded this morning at 11:06 Central Time. It's 12:31. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Tom Rogers is here with AM 580 News.
Thanks, Celeste. Good afternoon. Robert Arnett has been sentenced to 65 years in prison for murdering his estranged wife and concealing her body. Champaign County Judge Tom DeFantis handed down the sentence this morning, saying Arnett is proven to be a danger to society. He was found guilty back in August of strangling Naomi Arnett and burying her body in a shallow grave near her home last year in Sadorus. Her disappearance sparked a lengthy search that went on for months. State's attorney Julia Reitz says she's pleased with the sentence, particularly after learning of a letter that Arnett mailed to an old girlfriend just last week. That letter threatened Teresa Henson, who assisted investigators prior to Arnett's arrest last year. Duke Harris is the lead prosecutor for the state's attorney's office.
When she got that letter, it shook her up. When you start hearing, getting letters about betrayal, I'll be out, I'll be back, you better buy a gun, it upset her. And again, she's a stand-up lady. She did the right thing. She got a hold of the sheriff's department, and she was willing again to come in today and tell Judge DeFantis about what this man is continuing to do, despite the fact he's locked up in a county jail.
After the discovery of Naomi Arnett's body, Robert Arnett told investigators that she had hanged herself and he had buried the body in an attempt to hide the death from her children. But authorities say those statements were inconsistent with what he had said earlier. The 39-year-old Arnett will have to serve 100% of his sentence. His attorney, Emily Monroe, plans to appeal the guilty verdict and file a motion to have the sentence reduced. A former Chicago politician who led white aldermen in a spectacular feud with the city's first black mayor 25 years ago has pleaded guilty in a real estate kickback scheme. Edward Verdoliak pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit mail and wire fraud as his trial was about to get underway. The 71-year-old former alderman was accused of arranging a kickback for attorney Stuart Levine in the sale of a piece of property for $15 million. The charges stem from the same investigation that led to the fraud conviction of political fundraiser Tony Rezko, who helped to bankroll the campaigns of Governor Al Blagojevich and Senator Barack Obama. Verdoliak faces a maximum 5 years in prison and a $250,000 fine when he's sentenced January 9th. Illinois has nearly quadrupled its former early voting record, reaching a high of 821,000 people. And election officials are still bracing for a big turnout tomorrow. As the clerk in Madison County, Mark Von Nida, generally doesn't sleep well the night before Election Day, he certainly doesn't expect to get much rest this time. Von Nida predicts as many as 140 of the county's 178,000 registered voters will cast ballots. More than 37,000 have already participated in early voting. While Von Nida says that might ease some congestion tomorrow, he's hustling to get things ready. His preparations include putting up signs at now obsolete polling places to let voters know and reworking the county clerk's phone system to handle additional lines. Though it's home to presidential candidate Barack Obama, Illinois hasn't attracted the attention of pundits nearly as much as its neighbor to the east. Indiana is still considered too close to call, and that's brought Obama and John McCain to the state several times over the last few months. And the excitement is evident in Vermilion County, Indiana, just over the Illinois line, where Clerk Florinda Pruitt has tried to prepare for a flood of voters tomorrow.
We take the numbers of registered voters for each precinct and order ballots based on that. Assume that we're going to have 100% turnout. And then I ordered 100 extra ballots per precinct for all the people that perhaps hadn't registered yet when I ordered ballots.
Indiana's absentee voting deadline passed at noon today. Pruitt says more than 800 people out of more than 11,000 registered voters there chose to vote early. Illinois Democrats are anticipating big success tomorrow, but one political expert says the party could miss a golden opportunity. Sean Crawford has more.
Democrats might have full control of state government, but they've had problems getting along with one another. Polls show voters are dissatisfied with the governor and state lawmakers. That could make the election a recipe for disaster for Democrats. But enter Barack Obama. His appeal in Illinois might overshadow voter backlash for the state party. That's according to Kent Redfield, a political scientist with the University of Illinois at Springfield. Redfield says Obama's popularity has Republicans playing defense this election.
It's never a good election if when you lose seats. But if you lose a few seats in the House and end up with a draw or pick one up in the Senate, the Republicans will have done very well.
Even solidly Republican districts might be in play. It's not just Obama that could hurt Republicans. President George W. Bush also gets low marks from Illinois voters. Democrats hold a 67-51 edge in the Illinois House and a 37-22 advantage in the state Senate. I'm Sean Crawford.
And NPR and AM 580 will have complete election coverage beginning tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Our next report of AM 580 News is at 2:30. I'm Tom Rogers.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at the University of Illinois, hosting a lifelong learning program developed specifically for adults over 50. Additional information on programs available at 244-9141.